20. Both Magnuses pointed at Maddie. Magnus Rex said,
"You're the girl from that crappy museum."
Maddie glanced back over her shoulder at Tyler's empty makeshift plinth and the fur hanging on display, and said,
"The other one, yes."
Magnus Rex asked,
"Who are you?"
Maddie looked at Brewster, then back to the Magnuses.
"The girl from that crappy museum."
Magnus Gaucha closed his eyes and pinched the bridge of his nose.
"What's your name, and why are you following us?"
Brewster said,
"We were here first."
Maddie said,
"Yeah, we were at the museum first, too. If anything, you're following us."
Magnus Rex said,
"We don't even know who you are."
"Just makes it creepier that you're following us, dude."
"Creepy?"
Magnus Gaucha said.
"You dare call us creepy? Let's see if you think we're creepy when we drag you out of here and whisk you both back to our hidden lair."
Maddie said,
"I'm pretty sure we will."
Brewster shook his head.
"I mean, the fact that you call it your hidden lair."
Magnus Gaucha waved dismissively toward the twins and looked at Magnus Rex.
"This conversation is pointless. Seize them!"
Magnus Rex didn't move.
"Was that a command?"
Sorry, of course you're right. I suggest you seize the girl and a boyfriend."
Maddie and Brewster both laughed, looked at each other, and made disgusted guttural sounds. Magnus Gaucha nodded.
"Okay, I get it. Your brother and sister. Sorry about that."
Brewster said,
"You didn't know."
"Thanks. Anyway, Magnus, I suggest you seize them both."
Maddie said,
"Still creepy."
"Yeah, fine, whatever."
Magnus Rex advanced on the twins, his hands open and outstretched, like he meant to grasp them by the throat. Maddie and Brewster both took off their hats and spread out, giving themselves a little more room to move. Magnus Rex's attention shifted to Pete, still standing in the door to the storeroom.
"Oh, hey, barkeep," Magnus Rex said. "Has anyone turned in a fur cloak? It's black. I left it here something like, 15 minutes ago."
Magnus Gaucha said,
"You just deal with the kids. I'll get your cloak."
Magnus Rex said,
"But I'm right here. He's here. Why shouldn't I just get it?"
"Because this is how we work. You're out there getting things done, rolling up your sleeves, taking action. Meanwhile, I'm in the background dealing with the petty stuff that isn't worth your time. I'm your support."
Magnus Rex said,
"Yeah, true."
"Exactly. So you chase those kids around while I talk to the bartender."
"Okay, but why don't I just freeze them?"
"Because we want to question them. They may help us unlock many mysteries, but they can't answer any questions if they're frozen."
"But we could freeze them, bring them home, then unfreeze them and ask them."
"You'll just have to grab them at home that way instead of here. I'm trying to save you extra work, and the more you talk, the more time they have to think of a way to defend themselves."
Magnus Rex turned to look at Maddie and Brewster, just in time to catch the rabbit streaking toward his face.
"Again with the rabbit?"
Brewster said.
Maddie said, "It's the first thing on the list, and I know it works."
Magnus Rex stood there, glaring at them, holding the squirming fake bunny out away from his body where it could do him no harm. Brewster pointed at the rabbit.
"You call that working?"
Maddie said,
"Excuse me for trying. Maybe you should just criticize him to death."
Magnus Gaucha said,
"Uh-huh, definitely, brother and sister. I should have seen it before."
Magnus Rex started toward them again. Maddie let out a startled yelp and reflexively tossed another rabbit from out of her hat at him. He caught it in his left hand and kept coming toward them, now holding a wriggling fake rabbit in each hand. Brewster and Maddie both turned to run from Magnus Rex, taking off in different directions, Brewster hugging the wall while Maddie set out across the room. Magnus Rex followed Maddie, waving the rabbits over his head. The tavern patrons whooped and shouted, some cheering, others afraid, as the twins and Magnus ran between the tables and over seats. Brewster shouted,
"Try something else!"
Maddie was already elbow deep in her hat, searching through the options. She yelled back, "You try something else! You have a hat, too!"
Brewster reached into his hat as Maddie pulled a tangled knot of thin white ropes out of her own. She glanced back and hurled them at Magnus Rex. Magnus Rex saw the ball of ropes coming and attempted to knock it away with a rabbit in his right hand. Instead of deflecting, the rope enveloped his hand, doing nothing to restrict his movements but affixing the thrashing false rabbit to his palm. He whipped his hand through the air as if trying to shake off something disgusting stuck to his fingers. Maddie and Brewster didn't stop running just because Magnus Rex had stopped chasing them. Instead, they kept moving until they both stood with their backs to the wall on opposite sides of the tavern, with Magnus Rex between them in the middle of the room. Magnus Rex gave up on shaking the rabbit loose from his hand. He growled and looked up at Maddie, standing with her feet and hands spread wide, back to the wall, ready to run in whatever direction Magnus Rex didn't. He sneered, then spun in place and lunged at Brewster directly behind him. Brewster sprinted to his left, feeling the rope-entangled rabbit graze the back of his neck as Magnus Rex narrowly missed tackling him. Brewster glanced behind him to see Magnus Rex hit the wall, but Magnus only paused for a moment, using his arms to push away and regain the speed to keep up the chase. Brewster pulled his hand out of his hat, grasping a fist full of colored scarves. He threw them back over his shoulder, more to be rid of them than in any hopes of slowing Magnus Rex's pursuit. The wad of scarves flew from his hand, but a line of more scarves, all knotted together into a long rope, came from his hat and continued playing out as he ran, like a fishing line out of a reel. Maddie leaped over a bench as she moved to the middle of the room, dodging around the customers fleeing for the exit and past those who kept their seats to enjoy the show. She reached into her hat, selected the next menu item after ropes and scarves, and pulled out a deck of cards. She spun mid-stride and threw the whole deck in one big clump as hard as she could at Magnus Rex's head. She was momentarily delighted to see the cards separate and fly at Magnus Rex like 52 deadly throwing stars. But that delight died when the cards all bounced off of him and tumbled to the floor. A few of the cards went under his feet, causing him to lose traction, but not so much that he fell over or even slowed down as he continued chasing Brewster. In the corner of the room, Pete told Magnus Galka,
"Now that I've lost my main attraction, I'm afraid the mantle of Mantua isn't for sale."
Magnus Galka replied,
"He doesn't want to buy it. My friend already owns it. We're taking it. Do you know who my friend is? He's not someone to trifle with."
Brewster looked back and saw the ropes tying the squirming rabbit to Magnus Rex's right hand, the other angry rabbit he still held in his left, the long trail of scarves still spooling out in their wake, and the stray playing cards still stuck in Magnus Rex's clothing. Brewster shouted,
"This isn't working!"
Maddie said, "I agree. We don't know the magic well enough. We need something simpler."
Magnus Rex said,
"You could just stop fighting back."
"Shut up,"
Maddie spat. Brewster put his hat back on his head and reflexively pulled his walking stick out of his armpit, holding it in his right hand. He looked at his walking stick and his eyes widened. He waved it in the air at his sister and shouted,
"Hey! Hey!"
Maddie said,
"Yes!"
Magnus Rex asked,
"What?"
Maddie shouted,
"He's not talking to you."
Maddie saw the cane in her brother's hand and instantly knew what he was getting at. She put on her hat, grasped the handle of her walking stick, rotated it one click, and pulled the sword's blade clear of the cane shaft. She smiled triumphantly as she pointed the blade at Magnus Rex.
"Stop chasing my brother!"
Magnus Rex stopped and turned to face Maddie, scowling.
"Or what?"
Maddie looked at the blade in her hand.
"Or what? Or I'll stab you."
She jabbed the blade forward a couple of times, as a demonstration. Magnus Rex laughed.
"Oh, will you now? Magnus, catch!"
He threw the still-struggling fake rabbit in his left hand to Magnus Galka, who yelped in shock but caught it. Magnus Rex reached back over his shoulder and closed his fist. Even though there was nothing fastened to his back, when he withdrew his hand, it held the handle of a massive, double-bladed battle axe. Without breaking his eye contact with Maddie, he ran the axe's razor-sharp blade along the back of his right hand, cutting the rope webbing covering it as casually as if he were shaving. As the artificial rabbit squirmed free, he grabbed its hind leg, flung it violently to the ground, and cut it in two with a single axe blow, delivered with enough force to drive the blade's edge an inch into the wooden floor. The two halves of the fake rabbit disappeared, as did the remaining tavern customers, who all scurried out the door with a smoothness and efficiency that put any fire drill to shame. Magnus Rex pulled the axe from the floor with no noticeable effort, then tossed it from his left hand to his right, swung it through the air a few times, then choked up on the handle with both hands, holding the axe high, ready to swing.
"We can throw down, if that's what you two want, but those crappy sword canes of yours won't do you much good,"
Maddie said.
"We'll see," as she rushed forward, wielding the sword over her head as if she intended to cut Magnus Rex in half, lengthwise. As she brought the blade down, Magnus Rex swung his axe blade, knocking the sword cane off course as casually as one might brush away a fly. Maddie recovered quickly, swinging the sword at Magnus Rex's midsection with all her might, but again the axe deflected it, sending Maddie stumbling off in an unintended direction. Maddie said,
"Sword's not working!"
Magnus Rex smiled.
"Told you."
Maddie swung her blade at his head, grunting,
"Didn't ask you!"
Magnus Rex stopped her swing easily by raising his axe with one hand.
"Maybe you should have."
Maddie shouted,
"Brewster, come on! Help me out here!"
"With what?"
"Your sword!"
"But you just said the swords don't work!"
"Maybe two will!"
"Maybe? That's not reassuring."
Maddie lunged at Magnus Rex, attempting to stab him with the pointed tip. He stood still with his hands at his sides, allowing the sword point to hit him just above the navel. The blade bent alarmingly, but didn't seem to penetrate his skin as Maddie leaned into the blow, then stopped, holding her handle with both hands, struggling to keep it from springing out of her grip and across the room. Magnus Rex said,
"I'm a wizard. I'm stab-proof. This has been a fun workout, but we should get going."
He shoved Maddie aside, and the force of her sword straightening sent her spinning to the floor. Magnus Rex turned to Brewster, smiled, and started walking forward.
"Your turn."
Brewster tried to think fast, but drew a blank. Every weapon they'd tried had failed, and the last suggestion he'd heard was that maybe he and Maddie, working together with the swords, might be slightly less useless than Maddie fighting alone had been. He tried to turn the cane handle one click, but in his panic turned it two clicks instead. He felt the cane go limp in his hands, dividing into four segments of varying length connected by short chains. Brewster's heart sank. He came close to cursing and saying that he couldn't believe he'd selected the coat hanger. But then he saw the look of fear on Magnus Rex's face.
"What is that?"
Magnus Rex asked.
"Some kind of weird nunchucks?"
Maddie said.
Yeah, it is. Good thinking, Brewster. Hit him with the weird nunchucks."
Brewster swung the collapsible coat hanger with all of his might. The short length of chain at the far end picked up an alarming amount of speed. Magnus Rex tried to block it with his axe, but got hit in the hands, causing him to shriek in pain and reflexively let go of his weapon. Brewster kept swinging, whipping Magnus Rex without mercy. Maddie sprang to her feet, rotating the handle of her own sword cane to make it a collapsible coat hanger as well, and joined in, flogging the man with wild abandon, until some unseen force hit them both in the side. They staggered and swung their arms wildly, but managed to keep their feet. They both looked in the direction from which the invisible shove had come and saw Magnus Galka, one hand extended toward them, the other tucked at his side with a black fur cloak that had been hanging on the wall, now folded and draped over his arm. Beside him, Pete and Gert stood, frozen in place. Pete seemed stuck mid-word, while Gert was leaning far forward, her bald fist hanging in the air above Magnus Galka, as if she intended to mash down on his head like a giant button. Magnus Galka said,
"You all right, Magnus? Good. The deed is done. I have retrieved your cloak. As for the kids here, I think you were right to begin with. I suggest you just freeze them. We'll figure out what to do with them when we get them home."
Magnus Rex looked at Maddie and Brewster, a big smile on his face. He took a deep breath, preparing to utter whatever spell would render the twins immobile, but stopped short when square panels of some rigid material appeared floating in space in front of him, stacked on top of each other like a tower of blocks. Similar groups of squares appeared on his sides and behind him. One solitary square materialized directly over his head. Magnus Rex had just enough time to register that the squares existed before they flew inward, locking together, essentially cramming him into a coffin-sized rectangular stack of three square boxes, just small enough to be noticeably uncomfortable. His wincing, irate face protruded through an oval opening in the top square.
"What the hell? What is this?"
Magnus Rex shouted.
"What are you doing? Oh!"
The four panels forming the middle of the box all slid to the right. Magnus Rex continued to roll his eyes downward and tilted his head as far forward as he could, screaming all the while. When the middle box stopped, Magnus Rex's body appeared to be divided between three separate containers. While Magnus Galka watched in horror as his friend was seemingly trisected alive, a dark form grew behind him, spreading like a cloud of silt in a riverbed. The darkness resolved into a perfect rectangle stretching from his neck to his ankles. Solid black panels swung out from both sides as if anchored to the dark form by hinges and locked into place, sealing Magnus Galka in a long, thin box with his head and feet sticking out the ends. The box tipped, leaving him lying on his back, hovering at about chest height. Another rectangle, this one plated in shining chrome, hinged up from the lid of the box at Magnus Galka's waist. It stopped perpendicular to his body, paused for a moment, then plunged through the box like the blade of a guillotine. Magnus Galka yelled and kept yelling as the two halves of the box pulled apart. His feet thrashed as the boxes spun slowly in the air. He briefly stopped screaming as the rotation brought his feet and his head near each other. He paused, staring at the soles of his own shoes. He got a suspicious look on his face, watched as his feet, very deliberately, both swung to one side, then the other, then touched their toes together. Magnus Galka said,
"Impressive! And it doesn't actually hurt!"
Magnus Rex, still cramped and contorted into three small boxes, said,
"Yeah, but it's not comfortable either, and it's freaky, like real freaky."
Sid entered the tavern, stepping around an overturned chair.
"Indubitably, my friends, that is indeed by design."
"Turns out that people don't like seeing themselves cut into pieces," Gilbert said, following Sid through the door. "Puts them on edge. Sorry we're late, kiddos. We don't know the town well, and materialized at the church instead of the tavern."
"Indeed, the local bishop proved most skilled in the lost art of providing clear, concise directions, but only after we had both made a mandatory donation to the church's poor box."
"He didn't seem to like it when we produced the coins from out of his nose,"
Magnus Rex said.
"Magnus, I can't break out of this thing. What do we do?"
Magnus Galka replied,
"I suggest we teleport out."
Gilbert said,
"Make sure you get all of your parts."
Both of the Magnuses blurted out a collection of discordant Scandinavian-sounding consonants and disappeared, along with the magical containers in which they'd been trapped. Brewster asked,
"Where'd they go?"
Sid shrugged.
"No way to know, dear boy. But rest assured, wherever they are, they're still divided into chunks and constrained within our mystical apparati."
Gilbert smiled.
"The boxes will put them back together and then disappear in about 5 minutes, if they haven't figured a way out on their own by then."
Maddie asked,
"Could you teach us how to do those spells? The canes didn't do much, and we've already overused the rabbits."
Gilbert shook his head.
"Yeah, about that. You've had magic for, like, a day, and you've already overused the most powerful attack spell we gave you. Does giving you more weapons really sound like a good idea?
They were attacking us. What were we supposed to do?
Did you try teleporting away? No need to answer because you're still here.
Maddie asked, you want us to just run away?
Why not? It's what your enemies just did. It's what Philip's been doing.
It feels cowardly.
Sid shook his head.
Bravery is a fine quality, Matheson, but surviving is far finer. In my experience, most of the time someone has criticized me for being a coward, it's been a person who would have enjoyed seeing me hurt. In this case, if you'd teleported away the instant the Magnuses appeared, the only people who would have ever criticized you for it would have been them.
Maddie shook her head.
Whatever. I'm proud that Brewster and I didn't run away.
Gilbert said, yeah. You stood your ground, and in this case, what did it accomplish? You trashed a bar, frightened some villagers, nearly got yourselves kidnapped, and now that it's all over, we're going to leave anyway. Can you tell me one way this situation is better than it would be if you had left 5 minutes ago?
Maddie looked around and thought for a second.
Now I know that there are spells that cut people to pieces.